Good evening, and thank you for inviting me here tonight. I've spoken at a few public meetings and a few protests over the last couple of years, but this could be the last time for a while that I'm going to speak in public. On Monday, I released a statement in direct response to David Miliband's statement concerning Britain's involvement in the process sometimes known as extraordinary rendition. In that statement, I alleged that Britain had a much wider involvement in the detainment of individuals who were subsequently tortured, and that I believed that individuals detained by British forces had subsequently ended up in Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib, Bagram Internment Facility, and other such secret prisons. Well, you can go out and read my statement. It's still out there on the internet and on the Stop the War website, and I'd urge you to read that statement because everything in that statement is true, no matter what anyone else tells you. I was hoping when I released that statement on Monday that maybe by releasing my small piece of the jigsaw that maybe some other people would come out and give me their piece of the jigsaw and maybe make a bigger picture of what British involvement is in this awful process. Since Monday, I have been contacted by many people, lawyers representing detainees, human rights organisations, journalists with direct access to Special Forces contacts, and many other people that I haven't got a list here, but many other contacts. And they have all given me little pieces of the picture or have promised me that within the next weeks or months that they will be able to give me further evidence of this process. Now, I don't want to go into that now, not because I don't want to tell you, but just because the list is so long that I can't remember it all. Just to summarise, without a shadow of doubt, our government is responsible for breaches of the 3rd and 4th UN Conventions, the UN Convention Against Torture, and the UN Convention, and international law. Just today, from a Tory MP by the name of Andrew Tyrie, who's been looking into this British involvement in extraordinary rendition, I received copies of letters that he had sent to Des Brown as Defence Secretary and the replies from Des Brown. Now, what the British government has been doing over the last years and last week is they're trying to build a picture for the British people by just using making very narrow statements and then trying to sort of mislead the British people into thinking that these narrow statements somehow cover the whole process. Now, Andrew Tyrie has written many letters to Des Brown, and in this one letter he asked, "Give us the details, the names and date of birth of all of the individuals detained by British forces who have then been handed over to American forces." And I'll quickly read this out because it's quite interesting. "Whenever we have passed an individual from UK jurisdiction into the jurisdiction of Iraqi, Afghan or US authorities, we have had in place an understanding that they would not transfer that individual to a third country." Well, that's not the point I was making. By handing these people over to the Iraqis, the Afghans and the US, we are in fact in breach of the Geneva Convention because we are handing these individuals over to a jurisdiction in which we know, and the reason we know this is because our own soldiers have seen it and participated in it, in the torture of detainees, in the secret detention of detainees, in the indefinite imprisonment of detainees without charge. He then goes on. "Without first seeking..." this hasn't happened without these countries first seeking our consent or at least informing us of their intention. Now, only last week they've admitted that the Americans have carried out their two incidences that they're admitting without our permission or consent. So, you know, of course this is going on without consent all over the place. It's not just about Diego Garcia and two flights. This is systematic, and it is what the information I've released is but the tip of the iceberg. He then goes on to make this further statement. "We have never received any approach on this, and I would not agree to transfer an individual to Guantanamo Bay." Well, sorry, Des, you're not that important, mate. Right? The US army that I was working for didn't get on the phone to Des Brown every time they wanted to transfer someone to Bagram, Baghdad's International Airport, Balad Special Forces Base, or anywhere else in the world. He then goes on to say, however, the possibility remains that an individual we have captured and then released has subsequently been detained by the US or another country and then transferred to Guantanamo Bay. And this goes back to the point I made on Monday, in which I said that we were explicitly instructed by our legal team in Baghdad never to arrest anyone, only to detain them. And then we hand them over to our American colleagues. So Mr. Brown is able to make this statement about, never handing someone over because they have cleverly, or clumsily as it now seems, tried to keep the British forces out of this legal chain. And I don't want to bore you with more of this stuff, but it will be made public once we have put together a clear case with evidence from many individuals and many organisations, and there is a lot more of this to come. I'd also like to make one other point concerning extraordinary rendition. The picture that the government and the mainstream media has tried to portray over the last 2 years is that extraordinary rendition somehow involves flying someone from one country to another, you know, getting on these secret flights. And I've had legal advice this week that when I was involved in the detention of individuals in Iraq, and then I subsequently handed them over to an American soldier, they moved from British jurisdiction to American jurisdiction. That process is rendition. So for the government to claim that there is no involvement in this process, they either haven't checked with their legal team about what rendition really is, or they're just denying that they've got any involvement in it. Tomorrow, I'm led to believe that the government will go to court and seek an injunction to silence me from and make sure that I can't speak at any public meetings. However, I will be continuing to work with my legal team and organisations, investigative journalists and other people out there who I won't name in order to further this this process of holding these people to account. As I've mentioned, you know, these are serious breaches of the Geneva Convention. And if you'd said 10 years ago, would Britain be involved in these crimes, no one would have believed you. However, the government might try to silence me tomorrow, but I'm afraid for them it's just a bit too late. This story is already out there. The process is in motion. The wheels are rolling, right? And it's only a matter of time before the whole truth about this process of rendition and our involvement in it comes to light. And I think that when the British people put this in the context that, you know, there's all these reasons for carrying out these tortures, you know, oh, we need to do this to protect the people from terrorism. But when you put this into the context that we've illegally invaded a sovereign country in order to gain control of its vast oil resources, I think the British people will finally say that they've had enough of this government, had enough of its murderous and illegal policies, and hopefully, we'll hold these people to account and vote them out as well. Finally, I'd like to make two personal pleas tonight. One is to all soldiers currently serving and retired, and I include airmen and Navy personnel in this, and I address you now. The time has come for you to come clean. If you have any information about the processes and the incidents that I'm talking about, or other incidences that you have been witness to, or you have evidence of, and I'm talking to senior officers down through the chain of command to private soldiers, now is the time to come clean. These incidences and processes are going to be made public soon anyway, so you might as well come out now and admit to them now while you've still got some sort of credibility. And my final plea goes to David Miliband. Mr. Miliband, you've only been in post a short while, and the policies that you have inherited were the policies of another Foreign Secretary and another Prime Minister. And I would urge you now, before it's too late, to make public all of the information you hold on Britain's involvement in detaining individuals who are later passed on for torture, handing individuals over in the knowledge that they'll be tortured, and everything else I've mentioned in my statement on Monday. Mr. Miliband, I believe that if you were to make this information public, you know, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, that you would be applauded for this action. So that's how I'm going to finish tonight. Thank you very much for listening.